Hallelujah, Lord. It's a place of God that we have. I was just beginning to get blessed by Brother Mike in hearing. You know, not all of us are silver-tongued orators. You'll find that out this morning. Hallelujah. But listening to the kingdom of God being declared with such clarity and with an emphasis on who you are, on what God has designed from the beginning, so that you and I can enjoy that perfect liberty that's in Christ Jesus. I'm not a teacher of the word. I'm not making excuses. I love to worship God. I believe worship is a place that when heaven is delivered into the earthly realm, time has to stand still and obey eternity's demand. Amen? Amen. I believe that God has a speech in heaven, and it's faith. We understand faith to be something as if you're putting out your feelers for something that you haven't yet received, but if we were in Christ before time began, then I'm chasing after something that's already mine. Hallelujah. It's already been presented to me. It's already been available to me. It's already at my grasp. I don't have to try to conjure it up or make something happen. It's like when Jesus, before the crucifixion, before the resurrection, when he went around healing people, he was manifesting that dimension of the favor of God. He didn't say, my faith has made you whole. He said, your faith has made you whole. He was showing them that their purpose or their presence in the kingdom was being available for them now. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand, and it's a now reality. It's not something that's a futuristic thing. We have a dimension of God that's in our lives, and it just releases such a fragrance of the love of God when we're all in one accord. And I had to check myself when I heard Mike, because this is the first time I've heard him in years. And when he said, if you haven't failed this morning, you're lying. And I thought, wait a minute, I got up, I did good. You know, I brushed my teeth, I did good. You know, I even kissed my wife, hallelujah, that was good. You know, she left me, kicked me out the door gently this time. You know, everything, it was a good thing. It was all, I drove down, I said, Lord, I'm just availing myself to you, that was good. And then the pressure came, boom. And I thought, hallelujah, there we go. But I'm not going to fail you, Lord, hallelujah, because you've never failed me, amen. It's just an exciting time where we can just abandon the thoughts of what's happening around about us, our circumstances, and everything else, and remain at peace in the kingdom of God, because we know the kingdom of man is just coming undone everywhere you look. It's like the tapestry who's got hooked on somebody's shoe, and from the bottom, and just becoming unreeled, all the way up till there's nothing left. You know what I mean? It's like as if the entire thing is just coming undone as we speak. The natural kingdom, or the kingdom which we seem to live in and are dictated to by the things around about us, instead of being dictated to by heaven's demand and heaven's authority and heaven's dimension that we are should be more acquainted with. By this time, hallelujah, by this time in God. I'm just enjoying him more and more and more and more. Amen. This body is definitely, what'd you say, something about the lump being old lump? Hallelujah. The old lump, the old lump is failing me like day by day kind of thing, fighting decay, as one brother used to say. We're fighting decay. But when eternity shows up, it was like a fresh song by the Holy Ghost, and it was like as if I wanna dwell in the presence of the King, and when eternity shows up, time has to stop. It's like it loses its entire, it's like when Jesus showed up, you know, light came and darkness loses its grip. It's the same thing. Eternity shows up in time. Just has to obey eternity. And when we declare that name that's above every other name, everything around about, because you're normally doing it for someone else or for somebody asks you for prayer or something, and that situation that they're involved with just comes to a screeching halt because the name of Jesus and heaven's demand is released for that situation. And it's something that's already been done. We're trying to catch up with God has already done. Again, if you were in him before the foundation of the world, then your life is like, you know, we're catching up with something that's already happened. You know, but God will interrupt our time by stepping over the eternal, bringing eternity down to the earthly so that we can see his glory and manifest in that place that God has created before time began. And I'm just loving him more and more in that reality, you know. I mean, every day we have a chance, an opportunity to walk in the things of the kingdom. It's what you should be acquainted with. You know, it's what we should be living in. Does the earth dictate my business? Sometimes dictates my time. And I have to submit my time to the people that I'm serving in my business. So it kind of interrupts. But I'll tell you what, when you go to the your client or whatever and you have an opportunity, I tend to take them as often as possible, you know, and I mean, we could sit here and tell stories for hours and just the time, we got to stop to shoot that clock or something. But there's so much to build your faith or to let you, you know, when we share our stories and stuff, it's just allowing your faith to say, wow, that's possible, you know, or, hey, I can do that too. Look at this guy. He's, you know, who is he? He's nobody. I could say I do. And it's great because God is the great equalizer and faith is the same to everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus. It's no different. You know, he given everybody the measure of faith. So I'm loving it when I can go to a client's house and say, okay, I'm done with what I had to do for you. Now, you need prayer, sir or ma'am. And, oh, yes. And this one guy said, yeah. I said, well, I'm going to pray for you right now. And I put my hands on his back, and I cursed this cancerous thing. I didn't know the guy. I didn't know him from Adam. He certainly didn't know me from Adam and didn't know Adam or Jesus. So he was at a loss, and I was at a, you know, I had my advantage there. You know, just began to pray for him about this cancerous thing. And you know, I'm not looking at him. I always close my eyes when I pray for people because I don't want to see their face or their expression to change my point of view or my faith dimension. Hallelujah. So it's just, you know, and I thank you, Lord. And we just rebuke this cancerous thing in Jesus' name. And I command healing to come. And bless your name, Lord, that you've done it already. And we're going to walk into victory. And it was a year later, I'm at the exit 21 little oil change place. And my business is called Ashes to Ashes. It's a reminder for many, you know, he yells at this guy, and I don't know who, I'm getting my oil changed in my truck, and I'm sitting there reading the paper or whatever, with magazine, and he yells, hey, Ashes! And I'm like, oh, who's this guy? Yeah, you, Ashes, he says. I says, yes, sir, he says, do I know you? He goes, yeah, last year you come to my house and you praise on me. I said, oh, okay. He says, yeah, he says, Yeah. He says, and the doctor said there's no more cancer. He says, I said, well, praise the Lord. He says, yeah, whatever. yeah, whatever. I'm like, hallelujah, all right, whatever. Your whatever, my whatever, two different whatevers, but okay, whatever. You know, whatever. You know, God heals the guy. He got no more cancer in his body, and it's a whatever for him, and it's the glory of God. But you take the opportunities when God avails, you know, everybody's waiting for an encounter with God, and you might be the only one they see today. Amen. Yeah. You might be the only one that they have a chance to be introduced to the Spirit of God by. You know what I mean? And I want to continually avail my life in that. And you know what was really great about it? There was no song sung. There was no great preaching message. There was no, it was just, you know, bam, hit him with Jesus and leave the mess to him. You know what I mean? It's God's mess, not my mess. Hallelujah. You know, and he created them after all, so he knows what he's done and what he's doing. We were discussing. I mean, all this, you know. So just step out of yourself, and because you know, who's following Apollos here today? Anybody following Apollos? Some followed Apollos. Some followed Cephas. Some even followed Jesus. And Paul declared. He said, "Listen." He says, "You know, Apollos waters and I sow, or vice versa." He says, "But we are nothing." I mean, he recognized that even in his state ability to just blaze through the kingdom of darkness in the Gentile world, that he declared, we're nothing. But God gives the increase. So you have to recognize yourself as being a Jesus man, or yes, in true form, but as yourself, as nothing, so that God can give the increase. So when you take that step and you release that, the fragrance and the blessing of the Lord, they get the kingdom. You're nothing. And you walk away and say, got a t-shirt, say, I'm nothing. Hallelujah. God is everything. I'm nothing. But God's going to give the increase. And all these things about our life in the kingdom, the faith that we now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not even, you know, my dimension. I'm going to just shift here for 1 second because when I heard about this a couple of months ago, I kind of dismissed it. I'm not coming to the boys club, I said to myself. I love Vaughn enough to speak to him and then I see Brother Steve was online. I said, "Hey man, Vaughn's having this such and such." I said, "Are you coming?" He goes, "Yeah, I heard about it, bro. Yeah, I'll pray about it, whatever." And I said, "Invite everybody you know." And I invited a bunch of people, and one wanted to kill me for even saying what's going on. People have different reactions about different things. But I had to determine in my heart not to allow any of the past keep my feet cemented to the past. I had to break free from that mold or that thing that wanted to allow that lie to continue to be manifest in my life and just come. And so 3 weeks ago, Mr. Petzer, I had a dream. And funny enough, your face is in my dream. Now, we have a history. We have a history. And we won't go there because it can be scary to speak those things. But in the dream, the Lord told me to tell you. It was really funny because I don't normally do this, you know. And he said to tell you, he said, this year, before the year's out. Now, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know if you're still pastoring the church. I'm sure you are, because who can not want to listen to you? You know what I mean? But I heard the Lord say, it's time to plant, take 50 members and stick them in another. You got 3 churches to plant this year. I believe you need to just trust God and take a step of faith and begin to release people in 3 different areas in the cities around about you. Not too far, because you probably don't like to travel like some of us don't, or used to not. And just plant these 3. God, it's like almost like, and you said, whatever God wants, brother. Now, you never say that to me. You never used to say that to me. Must be the Lord. The only one thing I remember Mike Petra saying to me was when I met him in England somewhere, and he says, look at you, brother. He says, and he never prophesied either, at least I never heard him. He says, look what you're doing. He says, thus saith the Lord, even I am amazed, saith the Lord. He said, like this. And I thought, what a great encouragement. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. But hallelujah. That's what the body's all about, right? We could. There's no hit or miss in God, right? It's all hit. It's always hit. You know what I mean? Hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah. So, thank you, Lord. So plant your churches, Mike Petzer. Hallelujah. 3 of them, not 3 plus the one you're in now, I guess. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. And God says, don't worry, stop worrying about, don't worry, and stop, just stop worrying about, I don't know how much worry you have, but don't equate planting a church with finance. Just don't even allow that to come into your calculation, because stop thinking about money. Because this is beyond what money can do. This is what God can do. And if God's eternal, he's just bringing you to that place where you need to be. and allowing the eternal God to release his glory in other places. Forget money. Money shouldn't be an issue anymore in anybody's life. Really, it shouldn't. I mean, I prayed one time, you might appreciate this, Pastor Ernie. I was in a meeting one time, and I started singing that song. They were taking up offering, and I was like, I'm not going to do this. And Roy might appreciate this, too. And I just started playing that song, "Hit the Road, Lack, and Don't You Come Back No More, No More, No More, No More. Hit the Road, Lack, Don't You Come Back." I'm not going to submit to lack. I'm not going to submit to lack. I'm going to submit to He who has an exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think. God is beyond, you know, we limit God by our thought of lack. You know what I mean? God's name is not lack. His name is Jesus. You know what I mean? God's name is above every other name. I'm just going to share this real quick story about, you know, when you're moving into things of God, listen, that's almost like, it's not even the right thing to say because you're a believer, you're Christians. You walk like Christ, you act like Christ, you speak like Christ, you breathe like Christ, you forgive like Christ, you jump like Christ, you love like Christ, you lay hands like Christ, you know what I mean? You see like He did, you talk like He did. So we're Christian, we're believers, we do these things. And we were in India. This is about finance, funny enough. We're in India, and the Lord, we're staying at a home there. We were there for about three months, I guess. We had another 3 weeks to go. And the Lord had us, this will help some of you, had us, the daughter came from America to stay there. And me and Yvette, my wife and I were praying, and the Lord said she has no money. And I said, well, she's here at her house in India. I mean, it's her family. You know, she don't need money when it's your family, right? You would think. And the Lord said, give her everything you have in your pocket. So I said to Yvette, I said, yeah, God's just saying to give everything, you know. And it was only 300 rupees, but we had three more weeks to live in India, you know. And I like the, was it Thumbs Up in India? And Thumbs Up, and I found an ice cream stand that I just fell in love with. And it fell in love with me. Hallelujah. Over and over and over again. Glory to God. And so I thought, I didn't calculate how many ice creams I could buy with 300 rupees, but God said, give it to Lovely. So we called her up to the room. We said, Lovely, how you glad you could be here. You know, wonderful. I don't know how long you're going to be here, but Lovely, the Lord said for us to give you all our money. And she said, oh, no, Brother Angelo, you can give me your money. You know, I was like, no, you have to allow God's blessing to come to my family here in India. And I'm going to obey God by giving you this 300 rupees, and you're going to receive it because that's how the kingdom works, you know. You're not going to stop God from blessing me. I said, just watch what God will do for me and my family for the next 3 weeks. She said, okay, brother. And she took the money, hallelujah, and she was blessed and all smiley. And 20 minutes later, now we're getting ready to go to Ahmedabad from Baroda and about an hour or so away. Going to knock at the door, and in walks this gentleman who's, I forgot, it was a couple of weeks before that, we're at his house praying for his wife and two daughters, and one of the daughters was like out of her mind. She was just like gonzo, you know. We make movies about these things now, you know what I mean? And the Lord, you know, with the love of God and the release, we came into the house, and I saw her, and her eyes are like, you know, going to and fro, and I'm like, oh, my God, you know, you better have faith, you know what I mean? And so we gently, Mike Petzer, not hard, fast, and repeatedly, we gently laid hands on this young lady. And immediately that whatever, I don't know, you know, every name has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus, so I didn't know what name it was or what thing it wanted to call itself. It just left. It was gone. Well, this guy comes back to the house, and he knocks on the door, and he says, it's Brother Angelo here. Now, if you're Indian, just forgive my bad accent. I was upstairs, and they yelled at me, Brother Angel, somebody's here to see you. And a guy pulls this envelope. Brother, I determined to bless you, but I had no opportunity, and I want to bless you with this. And he gives me this envelope with 1,200 rupees in it. So I called Lovely over. I said, after he left, of course, I called her over. I said, hey, check this out, Lovely. I gave you 300, and look what God just did. And it's not American dollars, it's rupees. 1,200 rupees. She goes, and her jaw dropped. You know, I said, well, you're not going to rob the blessing of God from me. Just watch what God will do. So we went back upstairs, you know, happy Mary, and another knock on the door. And here comes the elder from the church that we ministered on that previous Sunday. And he says, brother, we were praying, and I'll try not to do it, but it's so hard not to do it. Brother, we were praying, and it was, we've never done this before in our congregation, but God has told me to give you the entire offering. This is for you. So it was 2,400 rupees. So now 12 and 24, you do the math, 3,600 rupees. So now Lovely's jaw didn't, I thought it couldn't get any further open. It was like, you know, just like, can't. And, you know, and she already has big eyes, so that was like, you know. It was like God just showed her in her own country how he can bless you. It wasn't because I was, a foreigner. It was in their house. It wasn't like outside, out there. It was right there. And I had just talked to her brother about, he goes, oh, some of the, you know, finances from America are being, some of the people are not sending money anymore. And I said, well, so what if the dollar drops to nothing and we have no money in America left? He goes, oh, then I think we'll fold the ministry. I said, brother, God wants to show you that he can bless you. Oh, because he was ministering to supporting like 70 or at that time, I think, pastors around the area. So he says, I know we'll have to fold up the message. No, man, God wants to supply your need right here with rupees. You don't need dollars. You need rupees. You know, you need your money. And, saying all that, we jumped in the van. We're on our way up to Ahmedabad. And no sooner my foot touches the thank you very much. Cold as well. Hallelujah. Lord, warm this up in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll tell you a story about warm water in a second. Hallelujah. Listen, it's all good. It's all God. Amen. Talk about miracles. And just before we get up to Ahmedabad to visit family members, this guy worked, I think, in Kuwait doing something. He works for about a year at a time. He just got home. We went to visit him, and before my foot can get out of the van onto the dirt of beautiful India, he runs up to me, and he says, I haven't seen you in so long, and I just want to bless you, and he puts another 300 rupees in my hand. So now God just multiplied all this, the little bit of seed that I had to sow, because he does give seed to the sower, right? Yes. And it's obviously, it's an obvious thing that he gives bread to the eater, you know? I was looking at all my brothers last night, and we all love our bread, you know what I mean? And not many of us, it's okay, you can eat. That's what he gives seed for. He gives seed to the sower, and he gives you bread. So, give me this day my daily bread. Do you ask God that daily, or do you ask him, do you ask him, give me my daily bread? He'd give it to you. He's not going to hold back. And then he says, cast your bread upon the water. It's like, what? you ever see wet bread when it gets wet, it just like swells up and just about before it breaks apart. And he says, not many days it will come back. I mean, these are all principles that you have to live by in this hour. I can't depend upon my work. I can't depend upon the next phone call. I have to depend upon him who judges me righteous in his glory and gives those things that he said he would do. He would do those things he said he would do. I can't trust in the natural realm anymore. We can't. You can't afford to. You'll never accomplish nothing for the kingdom if you got to trust in what you see. Forget what you see. See what's already been done for you and done for the rest. I mean, isn't there a scripture that says, well, we're going to, get them by the hair of their head and pull them out of the flames of fire? I mean, there's some stuff coming down the pike, baby, that you better be ready to walk in the things of the kingdom. I mean, it's a now reality. It's not, oh, I can't do it this month. You know, Jesus said, hey, the harvest is white. Don't say 3 or 4 months to the harvest. It's ripe. It's now. Hello? Am I talking, is this a church or is this, it's the harvest is right now. It's not, pulled into a church one time and I saw all these stickers on the back, these little fishy things. I thought I was going to a fisher convention. I said, what the heck is all plastic little fish? It's like, come on, you're trying to hide that you're a Christian by your fish. I don't put them on my, that stuff on my car. Don't. I just don't bother, because when I get stopped, I don't want to be offended that I can't. Now, how can I preach the gospel that this cop who caught me doing 60 and a 50 or whatever. Yeah, it's not a good thing. We were driving home last night. In front of me, nobody around. In front of me, the lights go on. The car in front of me. So we pull up behind him. And you never do that to a cop anytime. Don't ever pull up behind a cop. So he didn't get out of the car, but he waves his arm around. So we drove up around, and he says, him and his partner, and the light is out, the big shiny light in the woods, and he says, "Oh, we're okay. We're okay. You can keep going." Are you sure you're okay? I mean, you know. You put your lights on, you pull over. I'm thinking, we better pull over, because, you know, I never pulled over a cop before without lights, you know. Thought I better, he offered the lights, I might as well just act upon the lights, you know. Anytime you see lights, you pull over, right? So I figured, let's pull over. I mean, you know, might be behind him, but let's, you know, get the job. Oh, no, we're okay. I thought, oh, okay. Bye-bye now. Safe driving, you know. So you're not okay, really, you know. God is good, huh? Jehovah fun. I read that somewhere in my Bible. I can't give the page and reference and all that stuff. But it's in there. Hallelujah. Petzl will rebuke me for not using one scripture verse today. So, brother, I forgive you already. I'm the cop who pulled you over. I'm the guy who pulled over the cop. I forgive you already for rebuking me earlier. See, because faith sees what's going to happen already. You know what I mean? Faith has already seen what's coming down the pike. So we have to be prepared for that, you know. You have to be prepared for what faith is a funny thing. It sees. If you only knew what I was doing, you'd be rejoicing, says the Lord. Remember that prophecy about 100 years ago? If you only knew what I was doing, you'd be rejoicing, says the Lord. Let me try that again, Joe. Just for you, Joe. If you only knew what I was doing, you'd be rejoicing, says the Lord. It's still morning, I think, right? If you only knew what I was doing, you'd be rejoicing, hallelujah, says the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God.
It's like you're catching up. We're playing. Thank you. Hallelujah. Playing catch up, you know? Playing catch up all the time. Hallelujah, Jesus. I can't even use, what's the sense in notes, right? Yeah, it's like, here's some notes for you. Here, Petzl, read this. My 3-year-old grabbed my somebody else's first, and I said, "Oh no, don't write in theirs. They'll never understand what that means. I mean, they don't have faith for this stuff. I mean, come on." They'd have to exercise their faith in a broader sense of the imagination. You know? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 10:30, is the time over already?
No, the clock stopped.
The clock stopped. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the warm water. Boiling water. Warm water. I got to go all the way back to salvation for warm water. Okay. We were. There's so much to tell. How long is this meeting going on for? A week? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? 4 weeks? You know, the Lord. I had gotten saved, and somebody. This guy came back to our house. I was visiting some friends there, and his eyes looked like saucers. I said, dude, where have you been? He says, oh, I've been up to this place there. We just came back from a dedication of this place, and this big guy's up there, and all this stuff. And I says, well, where, you know, you look really fresh, and I really like that. You know, I was really hungry for God. I was a drug addict from the age of 12 to 24. When I had an encounter with Jesus that just shattered all that stuff away. It was like completely, God just set me free. You know what I mean? When he does it, he does it for good. You know what I mean? We idiots go back to the stuff of the past because we think that there's glory in that. You know, and when you start talking about it, it's like, well, wait a minute now. I do remember that, hallelujah. You know, you think about stuff and then you think about a glory of, and it's just like, just so false and such a rubbish that just robs you of, you know how much stuff we could have done for the kingdom of God if we didn't go back to the past again and again and again? It's like, Steve, we could be doing so much stuff. Hallelujah. Such for a time such as this, though. That's why he saved us. And warm water. So I Vaughn asked me one day, he said, so I get to this place. He told you a little bit about the story last night. I showed up in the back of a car. There was four people and myself, and one of the guys is a quadriplegic, and there was a wheelchair, and I was laying on top of the wheelchair in this hatchback for 2.5 hours with my face against the window driving up here. Although, you know, it was really fun. It was a fun trip, I tell you, a really fun trip. And I'm squished between this wheelchair and the window, and I'm looking at, like, I could see nothing. You know, they're like, how beautiful are the mountains? I said, yeah, where are you looking? I was like, you know. So I was the only one that had a rucksack, backpack, whatever. And it was an awesome time. Met up with this guy, Vaughn. I didn't know Prophet from Shmoffit. I just got saved. I didn't know what, you know, who know? I don't know nothing about the terminology of the kingdom. I still have trouble with it most of the days, you know. And so he comes barreling down the hill. There's about maybe 30, 40 people there. We're all like jamming away. I think Steve might have been there, might not. Everybody's banging on the wood in the barn and worshiping and doing all this stuff. And he comes down and he, can I say this? Legitimate? Shut the camera off. And Vaughn, I guess he must have had, you know, we must have raised the hairs on the back of his neck. And you don't really want to do that to somebody that big, you know what I mean? And he comes out and he goes, probably rebuke, that was your favorite word. I rebuke that spirit of Woodstock. Get out of here, Jesus. You know, because we were having like a good, this is great, man. Everybody, hey, you know, and we're just having this wonderful time in the kingdom. You might have been there. And we thought, okay, he says, I'm not prophesying over nobody. I'm like, who is this guy? You know, first he yells at us, then he's telling me he's not going to, you know, whatever that word is. I didn't know what prophecy was. And so he said, so get in an attitude of prayer and get those shorts off. I'm thinking, hallelujah, nudist camp. You know, I'm like, this is real liberty. If this is Christianity, I'm all in. Hallelujah. Woohoo! You know, of course, you know, he's talking about inappropriate attire, you know. So we're all like this now. I didn't know tongues. I was speaking in tongues. I didn't know. He comes back down. We're all now huddled mass, just humbly, you know, worshiping on the floor. And people prayed, you know, just a prayer of faith or whatever it was. And now we're all on the floor kneeling down, worshiping. And I'm bawling my eyes out. Nobody knows. I don't know anybody there. A couple of people that, you know, and the wheelchair I was really familiar with, you know. And And he go and while we're on the floor and I'm bawling my eyes out, God said, this guy is going to come to you last. And I'm like, okay, that was weird, but okay. So he goes around and introduces himself to everybody else, comes to me last, and he goes, praise the Lord, brother. He says, you're here seeking God and you're staying the night. And I was like, now wait a minute. From the time he said no shorts till now, did he go to the van and open up my bag and see Angela Parisi's little, because my mom used to write my name on everything I own, you know what I mean? And it's like, how did he know me? You know, how does this guy know anything about me? I mean, you know, what? And sure enough, everybody took off, and I got stuck at this place in the mountain, and I wouldn't know where, you know, this whatever that was, I don't know, what am I doing here kind of thing. And then God told me not to go home for 2 years. Now, that's kind of scary. I'm praying one day, and God says, don't go home for 2 years. 2 years. Like, I'll be old and gray by then. You know? And so I said, okay, Lord, you know? And then I remember it was I'll get to the water part. Relax. I could see her saying, water, water. Where's the water? Where's the water? I remember sitting up on a little knoll, and it was a gray kind of day, and I said, Lord, I said, you know, I used to love just opening up the Bible and reading a verse, and that was the revelation for the day, you know what I mean? And I was sitting on the pole. I said, Lord, I need to know what's going on here. I was already fasting, didn't know what fasting was. They just weren't feeding you. So you just had to fast. That was great, right? Everybody else was doing it, so you have to just join in. So I was already fasting. Obviously, I haven't in a long, 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 long time. But I opened up the scripture and walk in the light as he is in the light, and there'll be no room for stumbling. And as I'm reading this scripture, in this gray, overcast day, clouds break open, a ray of light comes. I mean, you know, these are wonderful things. The ray of sun comes right down over my shoulder onto that scripture verse. And I thought, walk in the light. Hallelujah. This is, I mean, you know, it really impacted me. And I didn't run around to everybody and say, oh, the Lord came and walk in the light. Hallelujah. You know, you can't do that stuff. You know, you just got to, this God spoke to you about things. You know what I mean? It was your encounter. And then I'm walking into the barn and nobody around. It was like me and the crickets and the mice and the woods and, you know, and there was a book, Your Appointment with God. And I thought, how did that get there? And it was the only book on this little dusty shelf, and I picked it up. I began to read, don't miss your appointment with God. You know, your destiny is, wait, it's a now reality, you know, and it's such an impacting thing to encounter God in a personal way that just, it sets the stage for your life forever. And that one time when God speaks is enough. That one time is enough to keep you focused on eternity, focused on the heavenly. And every weekend people used to come up there and we always have these great blowouts and, you know, worship things and teaching and glory of God. And Vaughn said to me one day, he says, are you back? Have you been back? I said, what's that? You know, I don't remember, but I was sprinkled, I guess, back in the day. And he says, no, brother, you know, we're going to baptize people this week. I said, oh, okay. There was about six or eight of us. But the river was dry. You know, there was no water to be found anywhere up there. So the river was dry, you know. Tub was off limits, so you couldn't get baptized in a tub. So you needed a river. Eight people. You're not going to go in the same tub, you know what I mean? It's not India. You don't have to do that. So we went to this. So the day before, there's nothing. The river's practically dry, trickle. That night comes a hurricane on the East Coast. Now the river's full. It's September. The water's cold. Raging river. I mean, I think we had a couple of catchers down past, right? There was a bunch of us there. And so I was in the presence of God. You know, I was asleep on a massive rock in a field. He said, that was now I remember. I was asleep on this rock. It gets better, hallelujah. I was asleep on a rock in the field. And, you know, there's like maybe 100 people there at the time. And I woke up. And I was so excited about getting baptized the night before, you know. And I woke up and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to miss my baptism. Where is everybody? And I ran down to the house, and I was cooking on this rock. It was pretty warm at that moment. And I ran down to the house, and no van, no car, no people. I didn't know about the rapture then. Nobody around. So I run down to the basement of the barn, and I remember there was this one 1943 or 52 bicycle. Big steel frame that they pressed together, you know, and rickety, and the fender was all shaky, and I think the chain was like rusty, and if you've never been to this place, there's a hill that just goes flat and then drops like this, like 18 degrees or whatever it is, for a mile. Well, tongues is so important, brother. I found out halfway down the hill that this 1952 bike's brakes were not available. Maybe they weren't available in 52, I don't know, but there was no brakes on this bike. And, you know, you don't drag your feet on the ground when you're driving 20, 30, 40, whatever mile an hour I was traveling at, down this hill, bonsai, ah! You know. And tongues became very important to me that day. I probably said a few holy stuff things but God was great. I said, look, that's all I'm asking, Lord, is no cross traffic on the highway down below me, you know. I got to get across the highway and make that swooping curve to go to the area where where we're going to be together. I knew we had to meet there. And I come flying down this road, and I'm, you know, you can't look both ways at 60 miles an hour on a bicycle. It's impossible. Marty Feldman might have had a, you know, a chance, but I had no chance. And I come flying down this hill across the road, like, you know, on this bicycle. If anybody saw me, they thought I was out of my mind. I was out of my mind, thank you. Swerving around this corner. I couldn't stop anyway. So I see everybody like off in the distance down by the river, and I saw a patch of grass, and I thought, hallelujah, grass. And I come flying into the grass, and the bicycle sunk and, you know, slowed down. And I ran down to, and he goes, oh, Brother Angel, where you been? I was out of breath, scared out of my wits. I couldn't say a thing. And warm water. So we get to the place. Everybody's sharing their testimony. I still don't think I have a picture of all the, you know, everybody. It was great. It was a great, 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 great time. You know, the beginning of your walk is so important. You know, when you can remember these things, you say, well, how did I go off track? Not off crack. I'm off crack years ago. What? How can I go? How can you go off track, you know? After encountering a God of love with such demand and such glory, how can you ever go off, you know, miss it again, you know? And we all gave our little bit of testimony, you know, and then it was time. And so we all trundled down to the water. And I knew that. I tested the water the day before after the hurricane. And it was like freezing cold. And no sooner we got in there, there's Vaughn and someone else with him. And Ray Rudd, was it with you? And a couple of catchers down the way. And me, Dave Hart, and Kerry Pierce, and a whole bunch of people were getting baptized that day. And I remember getting to that place where we're about to get dipped, and the water was hot, was warm in that, just in that area, nowhere else. Just right there. It was like, this is so, and I mean, how could water be warm in one area when you're in a river? I mean, it's constantly running, you know what I mean? God just is so magnificent when he has to keep your attention on him. Wow. He just so blesses. That's the warm water story, yeah. With a little kicker added in there. But you know, the encounters you have with God are so, so wonderful. And they're timeless. And the Lord is just, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord is so good in what he does. And, you know, from that, from the beginning stages of your walk with the kingdom, sure, there's going to be hiccups, bumps. There's going to be things, but those are not the things you're just to concentrate on. You concentrate on the kingdom. You know, you're going to slip. You're going to fall, but God says a righteous man rises seven times. And, you know, hallelujah, God is good. He rises up again. And we need to just take a step of faith, you know, and see what God will do in your walk. And these encounters can be for others. You know what I mean? I always thank God for everything I've been through in the kingdom, because it's such a release when you begin to see. Maybe I can't relate to everything everybody's gone through, but there's certain things I know. Listen, I don't have to be an alcoholic to know that God can set an alcoholic free. You don't have to go that way, you know what I mean? And he's God, you know, and he wants to bless us this morning. And are you blessed already this morning?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just so full of it today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.